Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
The FT.
When I watched Tim Armstrong on CNN last week talking about the brilliance of his decision to buy the Huffington Post, I found I didn't believe a word he was saying. The chief executive of AOL was perched on a stool with Arianna Huffington by his side, spouting internet happy talk about creating magical experiences around content and saying how delighted everybody was. "The reaction we've gotten to this deal has been overwhelming," he said. "We've probably had a couple of thousand emails from all over the world." My problem with this was not with the deal itself, which may turn out to be a good one, nor was it with the way the two of them looked weirdly plastic on their stools, Armstrong a manly Ken doll to Huffington's brainy Barbie. It wasn't even the language, though I couldn't help thinking that if he really was after magical experiences around content, he might have done better with Disney than with a website that attempts to tell us what's going on in the world. Instead, the reason for my disbelief was that I just watched an earlier video clip on the CNN website of Armstrong describing his guiding principle in business. "Don't allow loser talk," he urged. "Don't allow it in your organisation. Talk about winning. Talk about how you are moving things along." Given his predilection for winning talk, it's no surprise that he got 2,000 emails of sycophantic congratulation within hours of the announcement of the deal. In fact, one wonders what the remaining 5,000 AOL workers were thinking and failing to fire off messages to their winner CEO saying, "Way to go, home run, hole in one." An insistence on triumphalist talk is not only naff, it's stupid and dangerous. To abstain from using the negative means that half of one's vision is obscured, which is a catastrophe in business. Most companies, most of the time, do not win. And when they're actually losing, it's a good idea to say so right away, so that remedial action can be taken. Armstrong's ban on loser talk doesn't even stack up as a motivational device. Winning talk can be quite boosting if done right, but it can also have the opposite effect. I've worked for gung-ho bosses for whom every new initiative was automatically a massive triumph, even when the result was a bit lame or an outright flop. This didn't make people feel motivated. It made us feel cynical and uneasy. Losing talk, on the other hand, can be galvanising. At the very moment Armstrong was on his winning stool in the television studio, an extraordinary email written by the CEO of Nokia was being emailed around the world. His message, spelling out the severity of the company's problems, was loser talk in the extreme. It was also the best motivational message I have ever seen. Stephen Elop started his memo with the story of a man on a burning oil platform who plunges 30 metres into freezing water to save his skin. "We too are standing on a burning platform," he wrote. Fear of death is motivating. So is the truth. Most employees are fed on a never-ending diet of flannel, so when they are dished up a helping of stark truth, the effect can be invigorating. The email, in all its horror, was allowed to sink in for some days, and then on Friday came another message. The life-saving plunge into the sea was to be a plunge into partnership with Microsoft. Elop's memo was not quite a first. 5 years ago, John Plutherow, chairman of Cable and Wireless, sent a similar message to all staff. "Congratulations. We work for an underperforming business in a crappy industry, and it's going to be hell for the next 12 months," he wrote. This British version was less polished and even more brutal than Elop's, but appears to have done the trick. The company is in better fettle than it was back then. Clearly, this doesn't mean that loser talk always has the edge. What is right depends on the circumstances. However, the negative has a power that the positive stuff lacks, which comes from its scarcity value. Talking that way is rare because it takes guts. Yet before one gets too carried away at the bravery of Plothero and Elop, it's worth noting that both were new to the job at the time of writing their killer memos, so were merely saying what a mess their predecessors had left behind. The really brave and honest corporate leader, who has never yet existed, will be the one who says, "We're on a burning platform, and it was I who started the fire."
For more downloads, go to ft.com/podcasts.
The latest episode of The Next Five podcast is out now, and it's all about AI and creativity. I speak to Doug Eck, Senior Research Director at Google DeepMind.
Creativity is part and parcel of humanity.
YouTube creator Danny Vidari.
AI can give us humans new ideas.
And Neil Maiden, Professor of Digital Creativity at City University London.
AI creates a lot of opportunities. I think it's a great leveler.
Listen to the full episode of The Next Five wherever you get your podcasts. Enjoy.
The latest episode of The Next Five podcast is all about health prevention and vaccines. I speak to Kate Hashey at GSK.
For every dollar invested in improving health, there's an economic return of $2 to $4.
Murray Aitken at IQVIA Institute for Human Data Science.
The benefits of adult vaccination are compelling.
And David Sinclair at the International Longevity Centre.
Preventable conditions amongst those aged 50 to 64 in the UK cost $27 billion a year.
Listen to the full episode of The Next Five wherever you get your podcasts.